Hey guys, we're back with another episode of Taco Imposters for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. Not 23, 24. I got that wrong the last time too, and I'm like, oh, you suck. But anyway, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah. I was watching some videos by, what's his name? By LGR, Clint from LGR. And he was doing like all these old camera video reviews. Like, I watched a video by, Quinn from Savvy Labs. He did a review on the, Quick Take. On the, Quick Take. So, connected. No, sorry, the, not the Connected Quick Take. What's it called? The Apple Quick Take? Is that what it's called? Yeah, Quick Take 150. 150? Clint did, the 100, but still. And I'm looking at this camera, they're going, I like old cameras. I think they're good. I don't think they're great. But they're good, you know what I mean? Like, they're just kind of, they're good. They're good. They're fair what they are. They're good for what they are. You know, they're good. They're not perfect. They're not great. I like how old cameras, especially old mediums, like floppy disks. I like that stuff. It's pretty cool. Like, although, you gotta choose. Do you want really old cameras that suck, that look terrible? Or do you want cameras that are actually good? And for me, at least, I feel like you want that are actually good. So, yeah. What were they going to say? Yeah, so... At least for me, that's, like, I'll use old cameras that are just kind of terrible. Just for fun. Like, there's that aesthetic where people are using either... They're either using really old digital cameras, like QuickShots, Kodak... Or, sorry, Nikon QuickShots? Whatever. Coolpix. And stuff like that. Or they'll go and use something like, an iPhone 3 or an iPhone 2 to take pictures. I'm like, why? That's so terrible. But they're just so terrible. Terrible. Anyway, whatever. I don't know. I'm just, I don't know. There's something about them that just, like, why? There's a level where you gotta go, okay, these are terrible. Digital cameras are terrible. Like, analog cameras, sure. You know what I'd love to make? I'd love to make an analog camera that allows you to see the picture before you take it. So if you somehow have, like, a screen that goes on the back of the camera, and all you have to do is you have, or all you get to do is you get to see the picture, and then you just, and then the picture gets, like, captured. But at that point, you're basically making, those Instax, those Fujifilm Instax, like, the ones where it's not really digital, where it's you take a picture and you see it, or not really analog, where you take a picture and see it, and then you print out a picture from that picture, and at that point, just get a photo printer and just print either at your house or get a Kodak, or, sorry, not Kodak, well, Kodak, but get a, or a Instax one and just, like, see all the pictures you want and just print them when you want them. You know what I mean? At that point, what's the point, right? The point is those, like, the Instax, like, that's the point. They have that, like, instant look. Like, Polaroids have that instant look. Yes, I know there's a look to it, but it's baloney when the pictures look terrible. Again, I've told the story before multiple times. When I took a picture at the retreat, the person whose camera it was, I was like, no, I wanted to smack her, because I'm like, no, you get a better photo of that, but I'm like, that looks terrible, it's very out of focus. She goes, that's the point. I'm like, no, it's not, you can get better than this. Anyway, I digress. I've been told that story before many times, but I'm just saying, like, because I got so many better pictures, I've been testing pictures out. I'm like, there are so many better pictures. What are you doing, lady? Lady, you're an idiot. But anyway, what are they going to say? Yeah, so, whatever, that's just pictures of me, and I still want a digital camera, so if you know a good digital camera, about $500 or under, with a lens, just let me know, because I'll buy one. I'd like to get one, but, what was I going to say? Yeah, so, yeah, what else is there? Tomorrow, my best friend comes back from Italy. He's been there seeing his brother, because his brother's there for water polo, and it's going to be great, or at least that's what he says. He says he's also not feeling good, he's sick, so I'm like, I hope he can be there. Hope he's not gonna miss it. He's not gonna miss it, you know. Tomorrow night for the dinners. God. Oh God, those dinners, man. Now, like, I don't wanna say that Christianity is a bunch of faff, like it's like as a Christian I'm only gonna complain. No. I love the community I have, because without it I'd probably not be a Christian. I'd probably also be dead, to be honest. Without my best friend, the person who started this group of young adults, and a few other people, I'd probably be dead right now. I'd be like, I would have just given up on life and be like, nah, I'm dead. And not really come back to Jesus and realize, oh no, I need to, like, really live for God. You know what I mean? I need that lordship where, like, he's the only thing I need. Now I don't know how to get to that point where I realize that she's the only thing I need. Because at the retreat, the girl, right, whose retreat house we're at, and the retreat, who set up the retreat, whose retreat it was, basically, we're on a walk, and she was telling me and about some other people how, like, she only needs Jesus, like, God. That's it. She's found out that she's come to this realization, I only need God. Like, and she's come to this, like, it's a part in where Paul talks about in, I don't remember which book, but in, Paul talks about this, like, idea, this concept of, of, like, he doesn't need anything. He's at this ecstasy point where he's in, I don't want to use the word nirvana, but he's got, like, spiritually enlightened to the point of just, he's got the Holy Spirit inside of him. He's been baptized with the Holy Spirit. He has the Holy Spirit, and all he needs is God. And I think something's the effect of, you could kill me now, and I wouldn't care, because I'd be with God. I know I'd be going to heaven, and I'm just overjoyed. You can whip me, torture me, beat me, insult me. I don't care. You could put me in jail for the rest of my life. I don't care. I have God, and I'm good. Because she was talking about how she was at her summer camp, right? And she was like, oh, yeah, I'm at summer camp. And there were days. She went days sometimes because she was there. She was there from, I think, March or May Mar or April to November. And I'm like, holy moly. That's like 6 months, girl. Jeez Louise. I'm like, yeah. But what she said was, at the end, close to the end, there was very little, like, because no summer camp running every day. And so because of that, there was just days. She went days without seeing, like, some people. I'm like, wow. And she just, like, was with God. And I'm like, how do you do that? Because, okay, so my question here is, so I have a question for my young adults, right? Because we do, like, because how our young adults works is we have questions that we put up on a board, and they get answered. Or they get voted on. And that's where the questions, see, here's one thing that I say about young adults, okay? My young adults, and I don't like how we run it, because the problem is we're going to end up never getting questions answered. And when we do get question answered, we'll do like some people have already done, and get the question answered, and then just leave. Be like, I'm satisfied with my answer. Good. My answer got satisfied. My question got answered, and I was satisfied with the answer, and I can just leave now. Which drives me nuts, because I'm like, oh, but you, because it's like, but that's not, that doesn't, fine. But my question is, and I think we should put them in a pot, and then put the top three answers on the board, and then you can have all the new answers. And those questions can get answered, but then you'll pull maybe one or two from the thing, and from the pot, and the pot has to be answered. Like, there's no not answering it, and at least one question gets answered every week, and we don't have to worry about, like, ne like your question never being answered. Anyway, I digress. My question is, how do we go from mere complete, no, complete contentment, or how do you differentiate between complete contentment and mere complacency? Is that what it is? I'm gonna see if that's my question, because I took a screenshot of it. From and it's not from a Christian any source. It's not from any Christian source. It's just from BuzzFeed, a very far from Christianity. But how do you distinguish between genuine contentment and mere complacency? And what that means is, in my opinion, at least from what I can gather, it means, okay, how do you go from just mere complacency, like, I don't like the circumstance I'm in, but I have to accept the circumstance that I'm in, and it doesn't really mean anything, like, I don't like it, it's kind of stupid, it's a bad situation, I'm gonna wallow in my own self-pity, and I'm gonna feel bad for myself, but I know I have to accept it, to completely complacent in God, right? God put me in this situation for a reason, because she said, I realize people are important and necessary and a blessing. I just don't need them. If God put me on an island, God deserted me for the rest of my life, I would be able to live just with God. I'm like, how do you do that? Because I need people. I need people all the time. Because I'm an introvert who loves social. No, who likes to socialize with people. How that works? I don't know. That's an oxymoron, but it is. It's literally don't like to be with people, but I need people. It's this whole social battery thing of you have a battery. And will you go from zero to full, or will you go from full to zero? And I go from full to zero. I got back from the party yesterday, and I just went, oh my God, I'm so mentally exhausted. I was like, holy crap. What I meant by that, mean by that is, like, mentally exhausted, like, wow, that drained my battery like you wouldn't believe. I'm just so dead. I'm like, holy crap. crap. Like, just nothing. I was like, oh my god, I'm so glad I'm home. I'm like, ugh, I'm going to bed now, god. Because I was having so much fun there, but then when I got home, I finally went, oh my god. Man, but I tired of just, I could just, like, sit in my bed and be like, oh my god. Ridiculous, but yeah. But I kind of get that book, because I was talking to my friend at the retreat, and I was like, okay, my best friend at the retreat, and I was like, okay, well. Because there's two different aspects to that. I have two different sides to that question. Side number one, like, question number one, part number one to that is, the first part is, like, you know God wants you to do something. You know you have to do something, right? It's not a bad thing. So you know, like, maybe do it. And he used the example of taxes, right? So he's like, okay, you have to do your taxes. And I'm like, okay. So you're doing your taxes, or you know you have to do your taxes. And God doesn't say, don't do your taxes, do this instead. No, he's saying, that will get done. I will get done. Like, that will just be like a, you, not believe me, but you trust in me, and I will just, that will get done. Like, it'll be fine. But you have to go do this right now. And my friend was like, yeah, there are two different people there. There are people who will like, accept, like, trust Jesus, God, and be like, okay, I will go do that because that's what you want. And there's other people who go, yeah, but I will help you when I can, but I can't help you right now, but I will help you when I can. That's the thing. And he said, I'd probably be that person who would say, like, I would help you when I can. And I said to him, I remember, like, well, that's not a bad thing, right? Because you will help them. You just can't help them at this moment. Because I said to him, how do you do that part, right? And then how do you get to the point where, because that's one aspect. And the other aspect is, like, well, how do you get to the point where God is just, like, all you need? Right? Because that's the other thing. How do you trust God enough to be like, okay, God, I know I have to do this thing, but I'm going to do this instead. You know? I got to pay my taxes. I got to do this. I got to do that. Or, there's another aspect to that, actually. The other aspect is, like, how do you get to the point where you go from, or how do you do that thing when you know that thing's going to be hard? When you know it's going to be hard? Like, you have to go and confront someone that hurt you. Or you have to go and, like, forgive someone. Or you have to go and, like, do something that you just don't even know if you're able to do. You're like, oh God, how do I do this? This is gonna be so awkward or so bad or so hard. Like, I have to go and talk to that guy. Why? I don't like you. Stop it! Ah! You know? That's what I said. And he's like, well, it's a lot of meditating, a lot of praying, and a lot of reading the Bible. You know? Figure out what God is so you can hear God's voice. And then meditate on the word, meditate on, and pray. Just pray. And I'm like, well, okay, sure. That's my question. And if you know a good answer to that, please let me know, because that's like, you know, if you have a good question, then let me know. Or if you have a good answer, let me know. Answer that question, let me know. Because, like, because, like, I'd like to know, like, how do you go from mere complacency, where you're just kind of complacent, you're like, oh, what's the word? Not satisfied. What's it called when I am content? Yeah, it's a mere complacency and fully content. Like, fully, like, I am 100% content with everything that happens. And because mere complacency just ends up being this whole, like, God, I don't like the situation I'm in, but, and I'll trust you, but, God. To, like, no, I love you, and I know that you're the only thing I need. It's like, how do you get to that point? Because to me, I'm at the point where I still have to, like, rely on either people or myself. I'm like, I gotta know that this is the right thing to do, or I gotta know this is what I should do, or I gotta know the reasons, or I gotta, like, no, you're relying on yourself or on other people. When can you just, like, fully trust God and be like, no, this is what I want from you. God's saying to you, this is what I want from you, right? God, that's hard to do. I don't know how. Because it's a very hard thing to do. Because as humans, we're like, eh, we are skeptical about a lot of things too. So it's like, I don't know, God. You want me to do this? You're out of your mind? You know how I'd get killed? You know how I wouldn't have any money? You know how I would, like, trust me. I'll get you through this. Because it's that whole, like, trusting in God and, like, if you give your money to the Lord, money will just come. That's the taxes thing, where it's like, if you just believe, like, oh, God will just give you, like, God will provide, don't worry. Like, the pastor of my previous church who leads the young adults basically said, we had another set of, so we had two kids, right? Then he was like, I think we should have more kids. So they tried for more kids and had three more. So there's two older and three younger, like, significantly younger, from the second oldest to the third oldest, like, significantly. There's like a 3 to 5 year difference, something ridiculous like that. But he was like, but kids, children are a blessing. And we have to trust God, that God was saying to us, go try again and have more kids. Like, well, okay. And so it was like, it's one of those, like, trusting and no, I will provide. He says, we give our money to the Lord. And whenever we, like, need money, it just comes. I'm like, ah. So it's just magical. He's what, Santa Claus? Well, not really. But yeah, you can maybe come, like, think that if you don't understand how it works. It's like, yeah. Because that's a lot of people use God as. God as either a Santa Claus or a genie. Where it's like, hey, you've got your wishes here. But an God with infinite wishes. Because, like, that's what the prosperity gospel is, or, like, the speak it into existence gospel says, where it's like, yeah, you just want something? Just, hey! Prosperity gospel. Hey, if it's not working for you, you're doing something wrong. Or they're like, televangelists, where they're like, yeah, no, yeah, just, give us, money, because God told us, you know? And that's where the blind people, where it's a cult, where if you're not reading the book, right, getting where, you know, looking and seeing where he's, getting his information from, this guy, then, no offense, but, like, you're an idiot, you know, because read the Bible, and you'll realize, God doesn't want you to have $1 million. That's not how this works. It's not an easy life. Because there's a Joel Osteen type of people where it's like the happy preacher who never talks about sin and always has like things and good. He's a terrible Christian, in my opinion. I'm not going to get into that because like that's a controversial guy. Because a lot of people like him and a lot of people have come into Christianity through him. My mother, I knew know people like that. Oh, her, him and what's her name? Battlefield of the Mind by, what's her name? Battlefield of the Mind was by, oh, who wrote Battlefield of the Mind? Let's see. Who wrote Battlefield of the... Oh, God. No, close this. Oh, never mind. Who wrote Battlefield of the Mind? That's the one, Joyce Meyer. She's like the female Joel Osteen. Prosperity gospel people were just like, oh, God. Now, they're not heretics, per se, or not doing heresy or blasphemy or Satanism, so I don't know if they're that bad of people, but they're definitely not good people. Like, prosperity gospel is not a good thing to think about. You're not just going to get things just because you want them. Or because, you know, you've done the right thing. You checked off the boxes, and God's just going to give you $1 million, all the money in the world, you're happy all the time, you have kids, you have a wife, you have the, you know, the private jet you want, and the car you want, and the house you want, and, like, no, that's not how it works. And your health is always good, and blah, blah, blah. No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. If you never talk about sin, and you're always happy, well, there's a difference between happy and joyful. If you never talk about the bad things in, like, life, well, yeah, you're not a good pastor, person, teacher, preacher. Anyway, yeah, so how do you get to that point? How do you get to that point where you go from mere complacency and, like, like, you're kind of like, you're not necessarily to the level of Job, where he started, like, questioning why he was even alive. But you're not at the point where you're at Paul, where Paul's like, BAM! Like, I don't give a damn what happens to me. Like, I'm with God, and I love it. You could destroy me, persecute me, kill me, beat me, you know, insult me. I don't give a damn, you know, throw me in jail for the rest of my life. I don't care. I'm with God, and God's all I need. Right, you're not there. You want to get closer to Jesus, to Paul, but you're not there either. You're in this like weird, like, because complacency is like, okay. And then to genuine contentment, like you're fully content in God, and it's all you need. That's my question: how do you get fully content in God? Like, how do you just be like, yeah, everything. I'm just fully content in God. God is all I need. God is all I'll ever need. And God is just like, yeah, yep. Yeah, God's all you'll ever need. You're like, I don't need anything else. And I'm like, you need food to survive. You need money to buy said food. You need money to buy gas to go to the grocery store to get said food, to buy said food. You need, you know, and I can name you a bunch of things. You know? It's like, well, no. God will provide all the things. It's like, yeah, okay. Because there's two different sides to that. There's like the trusting God, and then there's the like, all I need is God. Like, I don't need anybody else. Because I said to my friend when I was talking to him, I'm like, hey, look, we're talking about it in a way that says, I know people are useful, necessary, and are a blessing from God. But if God took me and put me on an island and said, you're not doing anything else, you're stuck here, or you're in house arrest, or you're never seeing another human being ever again, you're 100% totally content with that situation. What Paul says. Like, and when she said that, I'm like, ho. And then she talked about a different, like, theological concept, and I was like, Oh my God, you're not drinking the milk. You're on the meat, duh. You know, like, you're super, like, whoa. You're theologically sound. You know what you're saying. Like, you know, you're, like, deeply theological. And, like, and I'm like, no, because here's my problem, right? My problem was I was listening to that conversation, and the conversation was about, like, what are we doing after. In no, what was it now? It was actually, I should have taken a break. Oh, well. It was actually, like, will we be. Was it something. Something like, will we learn? No, something like, will we fight in. Or will we, like. Will we argue with each other in heaven? And we're talking about not the thing you get to go to when you die. We're talking about when the new heaven, new earth comes to earth and it's all perfect. And I feel like I couldn't. Like, I remember. I was like. And I remember even thinking then, I'm like, I can't add to this conversation at all. But this is such a. Interesting conversation. I love it. The two of them. It was one of my friends and her. And I was like, whoa, this is an incredibly interesting conversation, but I can't actually add to the conversation. Which doesn't help my case because I'm not going to go there. But yeah. But yeah. So yeah, like, such an interesting conversation. So I'm like, oh wow, you really know what you're talking about. And then when people can pull up. You know what impresses me? You know what impresses me very much? When people can pull out the Bible verses that help their case, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know where that is and what that is? Oh, there's some concept somewhere that says this. Or when people, like, just can just 100% just quote every Bible verse they need, like, this one, that one, and they go, this circumstance, I need Jeremiah 17:4, and then you just read it off, like, word for word. I'm like, whoa! Or Romans 7:17. You're like, whoa. It's like bam, 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 and they just like know it. I know like three Bible verses. I know Jeremiah 29:11. I know the Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to give you hope in the future. I know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I know Matthew 28, or is it? I think it's 28. That's like 26 or something, where he goes, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I know John 11:36, is it? That's Jesus wept. I don't know many other verses, to be honest, because I don't memorize verses. That's not a thing I do every day. I don't sit there like some people do and like read the Bible, you know, for 17 hours a day, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get deeply involved and deeply entangled, deeply into the Bible. I'm gonna read it all. I'm gonna know it all. It's gonna be great. I'm gonna like just and like just, you know, and memorize all these things. No, that's not me. And I don't think I need to be that kind of person. My dad says that all the time. He hates the Christians who, out of context, take stupid Bible, like, take Bible verses and make it into whatever they need it to be. It's like, stop. I don't need your quotes from Matthew and John and Hebrews and Job and John and Joel and Amos and Romans and Philippians and Corinthians and Revelation. No, you don't need that. Stop it. I'm trying to Bible me into the ground. And then my dad asks, do other Christians do this? I'm like, yeah, they go everywhere. And he goes, are they trying to, like, outdo them each other? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know 100% if they are, but it really does feel like they're trying to. It sounds like and looks like they're trying to, like, outdo each other with, like, how much Bible verses can I know more than you? And how can I win my argument with the Bible verses I know better than you know? And I'm like, oh my God, what the heck? Because I know a lot of the stories, right? But could I tell you exactly where each of these stories is? Like, not even close. So, yeah. That's my thing. Like, right? How do you get to that point? Like, the things that you're relying on as a human in this world, how can you say, like, give it up to God and say, fine, God, if you don't want. Because you end up with lordship. Because we did this in youth group. And I think we did it again. We did it again at camp, yeah, because my friend, who's basically leading the Bible studies that summer, or that week for that summer, was, actually for both weeks, I think. Anyway, did the same, like, lordship, where lordship is where you, like, completely surrender to God, and, like, basically it's like you have to find the thing that, like, is holding you back from just, like, fully surrendering, meaning, no, we're not telling you to get rid of it, right? That's not what they're saying. But they're saying, if God asked you, could you get rid of, say you're like addicted to, or you just like love hockey, playing hockey. You play hockey every day. Every day you get up at like 7 in the morning to play, or 5 in the morning to play hockey. You go and practice. You go to this, do that. You're obsessed with it. You watch the games all day. You watch every day. You watch the games. Right, you watch the games, you're there, you're addicted, it's like, and you do it all the time. But if God said, nope, that's out of your life now, could you do that? That's what lordship is. And that's kind of what you need with this. It's kind of like, okay, well, I need to somehow get to the point in life where I don't need anything else. Because that's the thing. We accept a lot of, like, we put ourselves into, our identities into a lot of things, too. And that's not good, because we're like, oh, I'm the guy, oh, I need this thing, because I am, let's say, a computer, I don't know, let's say a programmer, for example, or let's say, I don't know, a chef. And you're like, okay, I'm a chef, and that's my identity, and that's who I am, and I'm good at chef, and, like, I pride myself in being chef, or a mathematician or something, or scientist. Like, oh, I'm pride myself in being smart, I know these things, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Well, that's not you, first of all, and God doesn't want you to put your trust in that, right? You don't want to put yourself, your identity, your trust into that, like, oh, well, I need to do that because, like, that's me. Right? Well, no. Your identity's in Jesus. Like, how do you get to the point where you go, hockey is not what I am, it's not who I am, and it's not what I should be doing all day, every day? Now, we're not saying, again, lordship does not say, the whole concept of lordship is not get rid of the things that are not Jesus. It's if God asked you to do that, could you do that? Could you accept? Like she said, could, if they put me in a box somewhere, in prison, house arrest, on an island, you were stuck and no other human, you had no other human contact, could you live 100% with God, like content with God? Could you be one, be completely content with God, like fully content with God? Or would you be in mere complacency of like, oh, fuck me, you know, Job, why am I alive? Why are you taking everything away from me, God? You suck. You're not real. You know, like, why is evil things happening to good people? No, that's what it means. And I've learned that, like, that's what it means. It means, like, oh no. Like, that's what it means. And that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, okay, well, how do you get to that point? Because that's what all Christians want to strive for. They want to strive for that, I don't need anything but God. Because once you get to that point, you spread the gospel to everybody. You'd be ashamed of the gospel. You'd spread it to everybody. You'd be like, everybody, because you wouldn't care. You'd be like, I don't care what you think of it. You can persecute me. You can kill me. You can beat me. You can do whatever you want to me, but I'm fully content in God and all I need. Kill me now. Persecute me. Make fun of me. I don't care. Beat me, bash me, make fun of me. Just that, you know. You just don't, you know. You would just tell everybody because you'd be like, yeah, I want to feel this. I want everybody to feel this. And if you don't feel it, I don't care. I have to tell everybody. Like, I have to just tell everybody, right? Whereas, like, otherwise, you'd be ashamed of the gospel, and you'd be sitting in this mirror, like, or you'd be this kind of person who's like, yeah, okay, it's just for me. I don't need to tell, like, I'm not going to tell you I'm a Christian because you'd be ashamed, right? Because you'd be like, why am I in this situation? Don't make, I'm not going to talk to that guy. No, weirdos, don't talk to that guy. No, I'm not going to do that. I don't want it. No, get out of here. Like, well, that's not how you should live life, because you should live life as if. Well, I was going to say something else, but you should live life telling everybody about Jesus. I was watching back an episode of episode, our last, not our last one, January's youth, I'm sorry, young adults rally, and one of the people there talked about how she like got over the fact that she was like ashamed of the gospel, and she like told, she went to a like a music and arts therapy program, and she. She was with a bunch of woke people who were the, like, you know, blue hair, pink haired, like, you know, for all the stupid rights people, the gays, the trans, the blacks, the whatevers, stupid, dum-dums, whatever, right? The left wing woke people. And she, like, was ashamed of the gospel. And she's like, I don't want to sell it to these people. They don't care. And then she, like, no, God was like, nope, you're gonna have to do it. And she's like, fine. And then what she did was she actually, and oh shit, dang it, okay there. And so, she got like past the, she got past the fact that she was like ashamed of the gospel. I'm like, wow, that's great. Because I'm kind of like that too a little bit. Like I wouldn't go out to the world. I would not go out and evangelize. That's the problem. Like, but I want to get to that point where I just talk to anybody, be like, yo, Jesus. Also, I'm not theologically sound enough to, like, answer the questions that people have. Like, I watch I don't know if you know the guy. I don't know his last name, but Cliff. He's like a guy who talks. He always wears like a blue shirt, and he talks in the public, right? And there's like videos I see all the time, and he's like, you know, I'm not like him where I can just go talk to anybody and like have this theological. I can answer all your hard theological questions. Like, no, I'm sorry. That's not. You know, I can't because I don't know the answers to your theological questions. I know you're asking me some pretty hard theological questions, but I don't know how to answer them. That was the other problem. I have no. Nothing I could contribute to, like at the retreat. The last thing we talked about was like I don't have anything to contribute to this theologically. And I said it to my friend, and I'm like, but it doesn't help my case. Like, it's bad. And he's like, I mean, we're gonna have to get better, I guess. We're gonna have to read our Bibles and read commentaries and get better. It's like, well, yeah, I guess so. Right? Like, I guess, yeah. I mean, there's nothing else we can do. It's like also how he also told me something like, how do we get better at like talking to people, right? How do we go get better at being social with people? And he goes, you just have to do it. There's nothing we can do about it. You just have to get better at it. You just have to do. Because I'm reading a book called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And the first thing that she says in the book, the author says in the book, is she says, you have the only way to get better at something you are afraid of is by doing. You're not gonna magically wake up one day and go, that fear's gone now. I'm just gonna do it. No, you have to actually get over it by doing. Public speaking, you only get over it by doing. Courage is not doing something because you have no fear of it. Courage is doing something because you have fear of it and doing it anyway. That's courage. I was like, whoa. Somebody told me that once, and I was like, whoa. Because I was going to jump off a diving board that was, I think, 8 meters high. So that's 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 24 feet high. And I was like, holy moly. And he goes, courage is not doing something because you're not afraid. Courage is doing something because you're afraid and doing it anyway. I went, wow, okay. Wow. That's courage? Wow. And so, like, yeah. Because she also, the one who's talking at the young adults rally, she also said, yeah, well, if you read verses like they were persecuted and put to death or whatever, right? And then you go, yeah, but that was right after, you know, Peter talks, converts 3,000 people, bow down and worship God. Like, okay? That's miracles, man. That's crazy stuff. That's crazy talk, man. That's crazy talk, man. That's just some crazy talk, man. You know? Like, it's crazy. That's, like, insane. So, yeah, in my opinion, at least. That's, like, how do you, like, how do you get past that point? How do you get to the point where, like, right? I don't know. It's hard to do, because you're, like, you want to rely on yourself. You want to rely on, like, your own, you know, knowing and knowledge and all that. And, like, you have to be, like, nope. You have to accept it. And be, like, yeah. And, like, yeah. Because, like, that's the point. Because once we get to that point where we're fine with everything, we'll tell everybody about Jesus. Because we'll be like, well, I want that. I want to give that hope to everybody else. Right? I do. I want to give that hope to everyone else. And you're like, yeah, I do want to give that hope to everyone else. Because, like, that is the best gift you can ever give to anybody. Like, the hope that, like, hope in a hopeless world, you know? Joy in a joyless world, in a broken world, like, you know? Like, that's the thing. Joy in a joyless world. Hope in a hopeless world. Joy in a broken world, you know? How do you give that? Because there's a difference between happiness. Because that thing. You know, it says somewhere in the Bible where it's like, we're not going to always be happy, but we're always going to have joy. Because we're going to realize joy is not. No, because happiness is the human part of it where we, like, have to find happiness in things. Joy is we can have joy, like, rejoicing in God. Like, research has passed, right? And we should rejoice in the fact that God defeated the grave. Jesus came out of the grave and was like, bam, son. You know? Reverse Uno card. Hey, Satan. Hey, death. Reverse Uno card. Guess who's back? Back again. Jesus back. Tell a friend. Yeah, you know what I mean? So, like, yeah. It's just crazy. Like, we should rejoice in that. That should be the joy of, and hope we have in God. Like, it's crazy stuff. Because I was going to write a song that basically, I don't know how to write a song, but I had the lyrics, like, kind of figured out, a little bit of the lyrics figured out, like, the first few little lines, and it was something to the effect of, oh, wow, okay, so I can take it off, it was something to the effect of, let me write it, look for it, because I wrote it down, Songs? No. It was something to the effect of, like, there's hurt, there's sickness, there's death, there's... love? No. Cool. Okay, anyway. Yeah, something like, it was something like, there's death, there's war, there's famine, but God is good, or something. Cool, camera, no. What's that one again? I'm trying to find it. What the? Nah, what am I doing here? Looking for, like... Wrote it down for something. Fine, sure. Holy moly. No. Where is it? Like, so. I can probably search for a song. Or lyrics, maybe. That's one. No. Dang it, okay. Lyrics. Okay, song lyrics, prank, and lyric. No. Anyway, it was something to the effect of... It was something to the effect of... The world sucks. There's war and famine and death and whatever, but God is good. And I'm like, yeah. I guess you're rejoicing that. Like, yeah, there's bad in this world. You also gotta realize there's bad. But also, God is good. God is here to... be with you. Anyway, protect you and be with you. Anyway. So, yeah. How do I get to that point? I do not know. Because for me, at least, I'm at the point where it's like, I don't know, like, I'm good with being here in my own little world, and I'll be here in the corner, and as long as, you know, I can watch my, have some fun here and there, eat some good food, you know, experience some good people, and whatever, I'm okay. But then people at least concept of things like that, and I'm like, oh my god, how do you do this? When she said that, I'm like, but how the frickin' heck do you do that? How do you get to the point, okay, where you're, how do you get to the point, okay, where that's all you need? God is all you need. That's it. You're completely content in every situation you're ever in. I don't understand it. It baffles my mind. It blows my tiny little mind. I'm like, how? How? How do you do this? How? God, like, blows my mind. Because, like, you realize that as long... Because that's the other thing, right? In a relationship, that's what you want. You want the person to be able to, like, not need to rely on you. Although, as men, a lot of men... No, I'm not saying all men. But a lot of men want to be, like, the woman's knight in shining armor. And it's like, that not doesn't always happen. Be chivalrous and, like, all that kind of stuff. Like, ooh. Right? And so for me, at least, I'm like, ugh. Because that's the other thing. That's what I did at the retreat. I tried to be her knight in shining armor, and it didn't work. She did not take that the way I thought she would. Now, she didn't take it badly, but she didn't take it the way I thought she would. Now, am I saying it's good or bad? Not necessarily. But, yeah, so, So, I was trying to be, I'm like, Anyway, what... So, yeah, how do you get that point? Like, yeah, because as guys, we want to be a knight in shining armor, but we don't. We don't necessarily, we should realize, that's not what we should be. Anyway, I don't know what that has to do with anything. I just said that to say that. I don't know. I think it was something to the effect of, like, it's because we want a man or a woman, as, you know, if we're a woman or a man, we're in a relationship, to be 100% fully, like, content with God, and doesn't need you. Meaning, if you die, if you... cheat on them, it's that's like, you know, you divorce them, it's like, it's fine, like, they're okay because they have God. I think that's what I was trying to get at. I'm trying to see now. Is that what I'm trying to say? I guess so. Yeah, so that's one of my questions that I hope it gets answered tomorrow. That'd be a great one, because that's the thing. I feel like if you put it in a pot, because if you put the other questions in a pot, you put the top three on the board, and then you can add new questions, but the questions that go at the bottom, as in the pot, are always, like, they're going to get answered. They will get answered because you pull out, like, one or two. You go, okay. You're allowed, let's say, two answers on the board and one answer from the pot, or three answers from the board, one answer from the pot, depending on how long it takes. But in my opinion, that's how you should do it, because then your answer will be answered. Your question will be answered, right? That's the thing. It's a good way of doing it, because your question will get answered. Maybe it won't get answered like this week, but it will be answered. And so for me, at least, it's like, oh yeah, it's, you know. Yeah, that's what I how I think it should be done. Because, I mean, it may take a while, but your question will be answered. And we cannot add to the pot until the question is answered. Oh, sorry, until all the questions are answered. And so, like, you don't end up with people who say, "What the hell am I here for? I ask a question every week for X amount of weeks, and I got nowhere. What the frickin' heck?" Because that's what happens. There are people who have complained, like me, going, "I've asked for how many weeks? It was 3, 4 weeks? No, I've asked the same question." Go frig yourself. That's stupid. That, I don't get, nah, frig off. Nah, frick you. And then they just leave, because they're like, "I'm never going to answer." Although you get the opposite, where eventually your question gets answered, and then they just leave, like, "I'm satisfied," and leave. But I don't think that's as bad as the other one. The other one's like, well, no, because then, because no, because here's the problem. There are people who are new to Christianity and curious about things, and they're complaining that their questions never get answered, and they're like, "No, because my friend was saying, oh, it's great that he got his question answered, because guess what? He not like he's a curious person who would like to try this whole Christianity thing, but he needs questions answered. He's got questions. He's got, you know, that's gonna, you know, just accept it blindly. He's gonna like have his question answered." So like I'm like, good, he got his question answered, and that's a good thing. He's like, good, because like, wow. And it wasn't a hard question, but it was still just like he needed his question answered, because otherwise he would have just been like, what's the point of this, right? Why am I here? This is stupid. What's the problem? He sees it as a democracy, and his democracy is gonna bite him in the ass. The preset to timer, preset timer name. Right? And so for me, it's like, yeah, for me, it's like, it's just gonna bite you in the ass. What's gonna happen to you, okay? What's gonna happen to you is you'll end up with a bunch of people, such as myself, such as this guy, such as a whole bunch of other people who go, "I've asked the same question for like years." Like, that could happen based on the democracy of how, well, if it doesn't get voted for, whose fault's that? Not mine. Sorry, you gotta get better votes. Get a better question. No! Answer the goddamn question. You know? Because that's the thing, right? The other problem I have with that, now I'm not saying this is a huge problem, but the other problem is you can't ask the same like five questions. We've asked, because I said to, because one of the problems was you reusing questions, right? And it was like almost like a no-no, big no-no. Oh, you can't re-ask questions. And I'm like, first of all, go figure yourself. Second of all, yes, why not? Third of all, but we ask the same five questions like once a month, twice a month. Oh, it's so dumb. We ask the same homosexuality, relationships, how to date, is this okay, is that okay, the problem of evil, you know, we ask all the same kind of questions all the time, and it drives me absolutely bonkers. And I'm like, we're asking this for the how many umpteenth time? Ugh, go screw off. That's why I say to, I'm gonna say to him, I wanna see if I can say to him, so yeah, right? I want to tell him, you know what you should do? You should have an FAQ so that the same questions, you can go, okay, refer to the website, go like this, before the website, refer to the FAQs, because we're not dealing with the 57 millionth time we've asked the same question. I'm not answering it again, but he likes answering it because there's a democracy, and if you want, you know, the problem of evil for the seventh time, well, that's not my fault. You know, I got to deal with it. But then other questions he just kind of like doesn't except, you know, it's like he doesn't want to answer. It's like, why? No, it's not a, or he gives like a really quick, like, well, this answer is very quick. It's just done. Like, bam, 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 done. Like, my question last week got answered, which was, are we in the end times? I know. I don't mean what everyone talks about when I mean, when they say, like, are we in the end times? Are we in the last era of Christianity? Like, I know that part. Of course we are, because there's nothing else after Jesus. Jesus will come back, and then that's finished. Like, there's no more. We are in the perfect world. But I'm not talking about that. I know that we're in that. What I'm asking is, are we in the end times? Are we in the apocalypse? Are we in the end of the world? Is the rapture here? Are people ascending from heaven? And are we sitting in an evil time? And is the new heaven and new earth coming? That's what my question was. You know? And that's not a question that's very, like, old. Or, sorry, old as in, like, repeating. Or, like, very common. So, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you can't keep answering the same... No, because there's a problem! These people ask questions how many times? But the same person can ask the same question 17 times. What? No. It should almost also say, if you've asked a question a lot, give somebody else a chance. I'm just saying, it's kind of ridiculous. But, you know, what are you gonna do? In my opinion. Now, that's just my opinion. I mean, okay, look. I don't have a problem with it. You're gonna... Because that's the problem. You're going to have these questions asked. Because you can't say it to some people. Can't ask that question again. But you can if you say, it's been answered already. Here's the FAQ. Go to the FAQ and hear the, like, 7 most common questions. And I'm just like, well, sure. Because that's the thing. That's how I would set it up. I'd be like, yo, look. Here are the 7 most common questions, and here are the answers that I have for them. And then at the bottom, I'd have, like, the one question where it's always, like, because the other answer to one of the questions is heart posture, heart posture, heart posture, which means, where's your heart? If your heart is in this, oh, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to drink to get drunk, to waste myself and to, like, get alcohol poisoning. I can drink a little bit. I can drink to the glory of God. I can smoke weed to the glory of God. Like, I don't know about that, but okay. Sure, I get what you're saying. I can do this to the glory of God. I can do this to that, you know. That's another one. But, like, anyway. So, I think, you know, I'm going to end it here. But, like, yeah, that's my thing. How do you have complete contentment over, now, distinguish is a stupid word, I realize now. But it's going to be put on the board again. I don't mean distinguish. Distinguish is a dumb word. What I mean is, how do you go from mere complacency to complete contentment? How do you get to complete contentment from mere complacency? Right? Like, mere complacency, like, you're not Job, but you're also not Paul. So you're, like, in that weird middle ground of, I don't like it. What the heck, man? Why am I in this world? What the heck, man? How do you go from that to Paul, where he's like, I'm on fire for the Lord. I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to write every letter. Make sure everyone's doing it properly. And you can do whatever you want to me, and I won't care, because I got my Jesus, and I'm rejoicing in the Lord. In the resurrection of the Lord, you know? In the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of the Lord. Ha! You can't put me down. Like, okay, sure. How do you get to that point? So, yeah. I think it's going to be it for now, guys. If you want to get in touch with me, and you ask any questions, comments, concerns, there's the email, tacoimposters@gmail.com. That's tacoimposters@gmail.com. There's the 2 Discord servers, and there's the, and then if you want to contribute, you know, financially, there's streaming my music on Spotify, and then buying my music, or on streaming services, or buy my music. And then there's also the Patreon, which is patreon.com/wingwong. There's the Etsy store. There's patreon.com/wingwong. That's patreon.com/wingwong, which is capital W's for wing and for wong. I think it's going to be for now, guys. So, adios, mi amigos. Goodbye, and God bless.